Welcome to the Effective Engineering Manager podcast.
It's great to be here. Slav, it's your time today. What would you like to talk about?
Today, I'd like to talk about effective engineering meetings.
Effective engineering meetings. Sounds like a great topic. Can't tell you how many times I sit in meetings thinking, how long are these meetings going to go on? What's the point of it? Do I really need to be here? Leaving the meeting feeling like I don't know whether I have any actions or what the next follow-up is going to be. Have you had any similar experiences?
All the time. And I can say that most of the times, meetings that I'm not driving, these are the questions I ask myself. What am I doing here? What is going to be the outcome? Or if I'm going to a meeting and I have an invite, it just has a generic subject, discuss the plan for product launch. So what does it mean? What are we going to do there? Are we going to come out with a plan? Is this an introduction meeting? And my experience is that these meetings, which are not set up correctly or properly or not set up for success, they just typically just bounce around, and the team enters it without having any clue what's the plan and comes out without a plan.
Yeah, and I think so many times when you're in those meetings, because the organizer doesn't have a plan, it becomes this kind of anarchy where people are trying to kind of unintentionally steer the topic in whatever way either they interpret it to be or what they want to be. And then so you end up just bouncing off tangents for a long time before you do converge on something. And then oftentimes I find when you do converge, you converge on something very specific, almost esoteric to the topic that you're meant, you know, to talk about. Like you said, you jump in a meeting on product launch and without any structure, you know, people just start talking about some, like maybe a specific piece of the product that they're currently facing issue with. And then it becomes a, you know, a rabbit hole of just talking about that for the first 10, 15 minutes until somebody comes back and says, okay, let's regroup on the purpose of this meeting in the first place.
Yeah. And then it's too late and it's time to go.
Absolutely.
And, and you're right. And I think one of the, another good example, I think you just touched is the situation when folks are not heard or not offered an opportunity to express themselves. And then when this meeting doesn't have a structure, it's basically an open season, and someone grabs the microphone and begins to talk about what's important to them, right?
Exactly.
regardless of the purpose or goal of the meeting. And, you know, do it a couple of times throughout the meeting and then that's it. It's a great time waster.
Absolutely. So, Slava, great topic. So what are effective engineering meetings? And tell us a little bit really why they're important.
Yes, and it's a very simple thing. An effective meeting is a meeting that delivers results. And effective engineering meetings are important because meetings are the most expensive activity we do at work. 5 people participating in a 1-hour meeting are 5 man hours spent in that meeting. And this may easily cost $1,000 or more to a company, all costs in. So the question is, what do we as a team get out of the time spent in the meeting? And the answer should be that we get results. And the results can be different. It can be decisions, it can be ideas, it can be new information such as updates, but it has to be something tangible. And tangible means something that can be shared with the outside world.
And so how do we execute meetings that bring results?
We do effective meetings by following these 8 steps. Number 1, have a goal. Number 2, have an agenda. Number 3, prepare participants. Number 4, limit the invite only to people who are going to be contributing. Number 5, start on time. Number 6, stick to the agenda. Number 7, finish on time. And number 8, last but not least, share the results.
Slava, this sounds great and something our listeners can definitely quickly take advantage of. Tell me more about these.
Yes, let's look into these 8 steps in detail. The first and the very important thing an engineering manager should do for every meeting is to define a goal. This should be the first section in your meeting invite. And the goal section must contain a single bullet point stating the goal of the meeting. And an effective meeting has to have an agenda, because the agenda describes what you are going to do to achieve that goal of the meeting. And the agenda must consist of a numbered list of actions or topics, ideally with the time duration attached to each topic. And this helps to stay course. And having durations is important because they allow us to see if there is enough time to go over the agenda when planning the meeting and keep the meeting on the agenda when running the meeting. So for participants to be active and effective and to contribute, they have to prepare. And this should be a third section of the invite to the meeting. The worst thing that we can do is to invite someone without telling them what it's all about, how they're going to contribute, and they have to know so that they have to prepare. They may read something, they may research something, they may think about something. And for example, if it's a brainstorming meeting, they can prepare some initial thoughts on the solution. So the preparation section should be a list of actions the team should take to prepare. This can be attached documents or presentations to review or links to wiki pages or any other preparatory work. It really depends on the context. And the next thing that is, we should be inviting only people who are going to be contributing. And contribution is not necessarily people talking. It can be actively talking, but it can also be actively listening. And if it's an update, most of the people are going to be listening and not talking. But there has to be a group that is going to contribute, either actively engaging in the meeting or actively listening. This is across the industry, I think, is that we invite people indiscriminately. When we invite someone indiscriminately, they won't contribute, and we are going to waste their time, and most likely our own time. So meeting invites should start and should be conservative. If you're unsure if you should invite someone or not, don't invite them. If you're unsure if they're going to be contributing, don't invite them. And this is true for the meeting invites we receive as well. If you don't think the team or the company or yourself won't benefit from your participation, don't go. And there's no problem with not going to a meeting that we are not going to contribute. And there are some exceptions, and I'll talk about them a bit later. And the next thing is starting on time. It's important to start on time, because the less time we spend working towards the goal of the meeting, the less time is going to get done, or the less is going to get done. So a 30-minute meeting that starts 5 minutes later or 5 minutes late has already lost 1/6 of the productive time. And the next fundamental rule for effective meetings is to stick to the agenda. And if we don't stick to the agenda, there's a good chance that we'll go off track and we won't get results. And we will be talking about something which is we didn't plan, and we are not going to deliver the goal because we didn't spend time on it or we didn't have time to make an effort. So we'll talk about pro tips, how to make it work, but generally it's important to have an agenda and to stick to it. And also it's very important to finish on time, because what happens when we don't finish on time, then we overflow into the next meeting, right? And this has this cascading effect on the next meetings for the day, right? If we cannot do this, then we're going to be less and less effective throughout the day. And the pro tip here is that if you see that the topic exploded and we are not going to be able to cover this topic inside the allocated time, inside the agenda, the best thing to do is to wrap up the meeting on time and say, hey, I'll schedule another meeting, or we'll switch to email or whatever and discuss offline. And this will allow people to go about their business and just by finishing on time. And the last one is that the meeting has to deliver results. So we have a goal and we have accomplished the goal, but how do we know, right? And this is how we use the results of the meeting, right? We have to share what we have delivered. And this can be something that can be shared with the participants and possibly a broader team. And typical examples of a meeting result are meeting notes, action items, status updates, design documents, decisions, and so on. And if there is no communication on the result of a meeting, this is a wasted meeting. Ask yourself, did I accomplish the goal that I set when I created this invite? And the answer is no. It's a good opportunity to reflect on why is that meeting didn't produce results. And maybe do something next time to avoid the repeat of it.
Well, this is great foundational stuff. Do you have any pro tips for our listeners?
Sure. Let's talk about pro tips. The first pro tip is we should avoid meetings as the first means of communications, with some exceptions. A meeting should be the last resort and not the first. And I recommend engineering managers to start with asynchronous communication, such as email, especially when we are living in this completely distributed environment, and having a meeting across multiple time zones and multiple countries may be hard. And some members of your team may be going to have to take it very late in the night or going to have to wake up way, way too early for them. And those are not exactly the most productive times. So, and meetings are very powerful and very expensive tool. So let's start with an email. And email as a starting point is great because we can have a conversation, we can go back and forth, we can even figure out things out and maybe even make decisions without spending any dedicated time in the meetings. But sometimes email is not enough, and you may see that the conversation keeps going on for hours and even days without producing a result, right? So this may be a good indicator that it's time to switch to a real-time conversation. And when it comes to real-time, the next choice should be whatever messaging system that is standard at your company. We can use the messaging system to have this quick back and forth in real-time and get the result. Now, if you have exhausted the email and the messaging and still cannot get the result, this may be a good opportunity to have a great effective meeting. And of course, there are exceptions to this rule of starting with asynchronous tools such as email first and then, you know, graduating to meetings. And you have to be smart about it. For example, there are emergencies such as production outages, right? There's no way you're going to resolve it over email, right? So this is the best to jump in, join the real-time effort and contribute. Another example is brainstorming meetings. And brainstorming meetings require real-time bouncing of ideas. And it's very hard, if not impossible, to accomplish over the email. So we have to be smart about the rule of starting with an email. And the second pro tip, don't retell what happened in the meeting to someone who joins in the meeting late. And spending the next 5 minutes or 10 minutes of the meeting retelling what happened is a waste of other participants' time. And there are a lot of legitimate reasons to be late, and that's okay. And what's not okay is wasting team's time retelling meeting's progress. And there are exceptions to this rule, of course. If it's your boss who is late and she asks for context, you have to retell. If you don't retell, that would be insubordination and you'll get yourself in trouble. And the third pro tip is how to manage meeting disruptors. And what happens more often than not is that one of the participants grabs the microphone and talks off topic for an extended period of time. And this eats away from time that we were supposed to use productively. And we end up not hitting the goal of the meeting. So the correct way to handle it is to politely but assertively ask the disruptor to return back to the agenda. And it goes like this. Thank you for chipping in, but we are off topic here. Let's get back to the agenda and let's continue talking about XYZ. You don't have to be impolite, but you have to ask, because if you don't get results, we'll waste team's time and company's money. And the fourth pro tip is taking notes. And meeting notes are important, because if there are no notes, there are no results. And there are a couple of ways to do it. If the team works great together and everyone knows what they're doing, you, the meeting organizer, can take notes. Essentially, you're just facilitating the meeting, but then the team does their thing and you take notes. And keep in mind that by taking notes, you remove yourself from being an active participant, because it's hard to take notes and to participate in the same time. And alternatively, I've done it before and it works well. You can designate one of your direct reports as a note taker. And it's okay if they don't participate in the discussion, because they're still responsible for the important job of generating the shareable result of the meeting. And the fifth pro tip is how to handle meeting conflicts. Oftentimes our schedules are double and triple booked. And so how do we decide which meetings to go and which meetings to skip? And that's easy. If you have to compare two meetings and one is promising to be effective, it's well prepared, there's a goal, there's a good agenda, and you know that you're going to contribute, pick that one over the other one, which may not be up to the standards of the effective meetings. It's okay to send a polite note saying that you won't be able to join because of the conflict. And the sixth and the last pro tip is how to handle ineffective meetings. If you receive an invite that doesn't have a goal and agenda and doesn't tell you how to prepare, the best way is to ask the organizer what's their expectation for your participation and contribution. And if the meeting organizer cannot tell how you are going to contribute, it's okay not to go. Obviously, this is not an option if the organizer is your boss or your chain of command.
That's great, Slava. And I think especially the point about, you know, starting with email. And in this day and age when we have so many ways to communicate and so many tools to communicate, being able to leverage those to our benefit is great. And, you know, oftentimes our organizations invest money in those tools as well. So if we're not leveraging those to our benefit, we're also wasting, you know, company investments in those as well. I have a question. When you have meetings with folks in different time zones, and different languages, different countries, are there any good strategies? You know, those types of meetings, and I've been in many of those, can often sink quickly because you're either waiting, you've got to repeat things to get confirmation. There may be language barriers, stuff like that. You really sometimes don't feel like there's a good flow, and you're not really gelling together. You know, you may be talking clearly, but you're not really feeling people connected. What are some strategies for that? What's your strategy?
When it comes to distributed engineering teams, the rules of effective meetings we just talked about apply even more. And a lot has to do with preparation, and a lot has to go into the preparation. This means that you as a meeting organizer have to work even harder. We have to prepare. We have to disseminate the information ahead of the meeting. We can even ask the participants to send questions over the email ahead of the meeting.
Well, thank you. Yeah, that totally makes sense, and something that I think is important. What are your thoughts on 30-minute meetings versus 60-minute meetings?
I think we shouldn't be religious about the length of the meeting. The meeting invite should allow enough of time to accomplish meeting goals. If the team is practicing effective meetings and it's known to be consistently get results in 30 minutes, 30 minutes is a good number. Otherwise, allocating an hour or more, if you know that it's going to take time, is completely acceptable. It's better to get results than impose an artificial limit. And another pro tip is making sure that all participants are contributing. And I'm bringing it up because I've seen it before, especially with junior members of the team. What we need to do is to watch the team for team's participation. And sometimes because of the difference in levels, sometimes engineers may not be confident to contribute and they may have great ideas, but because they're new or because they're junior or because they're just not confident in general, they would not contribute. And it's your job as the engineering manager to watch for such situations. You need to observe. And if there are any members who are just sitting quietly in the back, and if yes, it's a good topic to bring up during next one-on-one. And you can ask something like this: hey, how can I help you to be more active during meetings? And where it goes depends on the context, so it's very important to listen. Some people may actually say that they're not comfortable at all, and it's very important not to push, right? And you as an engineering manager need to keep working with your direct reports on understanding why not comfortable and on making them comfortable, enough comfortable to contribute.
Do you have any recommendations for remote work, particularly meetings that are done using some kind of video conferencing technology?
Yes, remote work is becoming a norm. And I personally managed predominantly distributed teams for almost 18 years now. And I had to pick a single recommendation now. It would be enabling your video while in the meeting. Remote work generally means that there's no face-to-face contact. And this makes communications impersonal, because without video feed, it's just faceless voice on the phone. And impersonal communications in turn drive down collaboration. So if I could suggest, insist on having remote one-on-ones with the video feed on, and encourage the team to have their video on in team meetings. And we need to be respectful that sometimes our direct reports just won't be comfortable to have their video on for whatever reasons. And for example, the environment may just not be conducive, such as, you know, kids running around and nothing you can do about it, right? And we should let it go. But do set an example and be present.
Yeah, Slava, that was great. And I think this concept of, you know, turning on your video is great for one of the other challenges we talked about. It's when you have remote teams, people of different languages and cultures and live in different countries, you know, just seeing each other sometimes I think breaks that barrier, because you can actually read facial gestures, your body language, and that kind of helps the conversation, making people feel more at ease and more comfortable, and kind of learning more about each other through some of those visual cues as well. Can you give our listeners a quick checklist that they can use to confirm that they are doing everything needed to have effective engineering meetings?
Yes, here's the checklist. When you're creating a meeting invite, check that you have a descriptive subject line, that you have a goal section, the agenda section, the preparation section, and the details for the video conference. Check that the invite is limited to the people who are going to contribute or benefit from participating in the meeting. And the last, when running the meeting, start on time, stick to the agenda, and take notes and finish on time. And do share notes and the other results after the meeting.
That's awesome. Thank you, Slava. Looking forward to more good stuff.
Thank you, Adam. More good stuff is coming.